Thank you, Lord. I want to ask a few people to share for a second. I haven't told you that I'm going to ask you to share. And I'm going to talk today. It's a really simple message, but it's living from the inside out, from the inside out. You know, if you have your shirt on the inside out, people will go, something's wrong. You need to change that. But see, with God, things sometimes are reversed. Jen, when you got this word for this young man, how did those words come to you? Come on up here real quick. If you can't think of anything, we'll get you off the spot and I'll go to the next person. But and there's no wrong answer because it's different for all of us how we hear. Do you see something? Do you hear something? Does a paragraph like type in your, you know, in your head? Do you get words? How does it come?
So for me, I never really was able to describe it until Cami had mentioned it in one of her sermons, the movie screen in your mind. So a lot of the times when I hear from God, I'll see a person during worship. So that's what it was. I glanced over and my gaze fell on you for a second. And then, and I know it's not just me. I know it's God because then he spoke. Sometimes there's a picture, sometimes not, sometimes just words. This time, the two Bible stories, and it felt like children's church because it was the picture of the three boys in the fire and Daniel in the lion's den. It looked like a kid's Bible for me.
So you saw that. It's like, Dan, can you come on? We've put some testimonies online. Testimony Tuesday, isn't that what it is? And this last week, we put Tori up. Tori Owens, who visits our church. He's not here a lot because his mother actually pastors a church and he preaches there. But when they can, they get away and they come over here. And he told about a healing that he received. And it was actually because Dan had a word of knowledge. How did that word of knowledge come? Did you feel something in your body? Did you see something? Did you hear something?
Yeah, so for that one, I felt like a tingling the night before in my hip. But I mean, I don't have hip problems or anything. And so when that happened, I asked the Lord, like, what's this for? And he said, it's for tomorrow. And I still didn't really, I mean, I kind of understood, but I didn't know, like, when that would happen. And so, honestly, the next day, I completely forgot Sunday morning until, like, right when service was ending. And then the Lord, like, brought it up, like, no, you need to go up there and tell Pastor Lena, like, that you have a word that someone's hip and back is going to get healed, basically.
You can even sort of forget, and God will bring it to your remembrance. And so Tori told the results of that. God spoke to him on a Saturday. He delivered it on a Sunday. And Tori, who had a 3.5-year condition after Dan prayed for him, it was gone, immediately gone. Sabata, he'll feel something in his body and then deliver that out. Because, see, he felt something about cartilage one Sunday, called it out. Barbara was listening to the podcast the next day, the sermon link, because she was in children's church during the service. And she goes, that's for me. And cartilage in her knees that had been an ongoing problem was immediately healed. And so it's things people are getting on the inside, but they're making a difference on the outside. Things we get on the inside making a difference on the outside. And so I want to talk a little bit about living from the inside out. But, you know, God deals with us differently. There's no cookie cutter formula. The other night, I prayed that we would all begin to hear God's voice. And when we first started the church, that was one of the things we put in our vision, that we would raise up people that could hear from the Lord for themselves. You know, you don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to just all line up and one minister hears from God and nobody else does, because he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I prayed some things and Kurt got up and he goes, everything that Lena just said, I was getting that. And see, there's times we get in a flow or in a stream of the Holy Spirit, and we will all hear very similar things because it's what the Holy Spirit is saying. But then there are individual things that only you get. Nobody else got that about the pain. Nobody else got when Sandra prayed for Easy, Lord, you took things out of me and you could take things out of him, and then cancer left his body. So things on the inside that we are meditating on, praying, delivering, speaking, can make a difference on the outside. Easy went for that PET scan I told you a few months ago, said he was totally clear. We thought that would be enough, but the doctors are so astounded by this. They go, no, we're going to go ahead and do another endoscopy. And I'm like, again? And so they went ahead and put him in a surgical center, put him under anesthesia again, went down there, explored, didn't see a thing. And they just thought, this is just too good to be true. And they went ahead and did biopsies, sent him to a pathologist lab. It came back, not a trace of cancer anywhere in his body. And so when Easy went in, the doctor said, "You are incredible." But really, Jesus is incredible. See, Jesus is incredible. And so I want to talk today a little bit, and I'm going to mix some things up, about the way that God leads us. The number one way that God leads his children is by an inward witness. But that inward witness can be seeing, it can be hearing, it can be feeling, it can be the movie screen, it can be a typing out of paragraph, you know, like you practically see, you know, like a sentence written before you. It can be a lot of ways. And God will teach you in the way that you can become familiar with, that you can trust his voice. The inward man has a voice, a mouth. So the inward man can speak out what God says, but the inward man also has an ear to hear. But sometimes I think living in the world, it's like being in my Italian family, like on a holiday meal. Everybody's talking. It is so loud. There is so much going on. Like everybody who's loud, which means like 98% of the people, are talking loudly. People are saying their opinions, and if they, you know, get ramped up about something, the volume goes up. People are laughing. They're laughing at you. They're laughing with you. They're laughing about you. I mean, it doesn't matter. They'll just laugh. And then all at the same time. And when Easy and I got married, he goes, "I can never talk." I go, "You just got to jump in. You just got to get in there." You know, because he was waiting for a pause. I go, "There's not going to be a pause." And so sometimes it is, you feel like I can't get a word in edgewise. Well, see, living in the world, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of clamor. There's a lot of things vying for our attention. A lot more now than 20 years ago. When we didn't have Facebook, when we didn't have the internet, when we didn't have answering machines. Like wherever you were, you were. Only one thing could happen at a time. You were out. Nobody could talk to you. Nobody could leave a message on your machine. You couldn't get 7 emails. You couldn't get 43 texts. You were just out. And when you came home, you didn't have any of those things to do. And it was a simpler time. But see, now it's very busy. And so we need to learn to be led from the inside out. And so that means from our spirit man. And that will get God's best results in our life. Now, I'm going to do an advertisement for another church because some of us are going to a service. It's a Friday night. They're having it at the upstairs event room at Skeeter Stadium. Patricia Bootsma will be speaking. And Patricia Bootsma is on the Prophetic Council in Canada. She's one of the overseeing pastors of the Catch the Fire church movement. And she's given us some incredible prophetic words. We were there at one meeting, and Alan and John weren't there. And I think Kimmy and Court were bold enough to put their pictures up in front of Patricia, and she actually prophesied, and they were right on words. Now, I've been to some services, and she just preaches, and there's no prophetic words. So if you're only coming for a word, you might be disappointed if she doesn't do that. But over the years, we've received a lot of prophetic words from a lot of people, from Dale Gentry, from Don Couch, from Ed Trout, from Patricia Bootsma, people that had never even met us before. So when Patricia first started prophesying to us, she'd never even met us before. And she just pointed to Easy, and she goes, "I see." Did she use the word revival? She just goes, "I see in your church supernatural signs and wonders. I see wheelchairs along the sides of the walls. I see people coming in stretchers being healed. I see ambulances pulling up, dropping people off." She didn't know that had been in his heart for years. I mean, she had no idea. Then at another time, she said, "You are raising generals in your church. You are training people up for fivefold ministry. You are raising up the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the next generation." She didn't know that was in our vision. And so God will give people insight on the inside, something to say that very much resonates with you on the outside. She said, "You are mentoring and raising and identifying fivefold ministry gifts. Some in your church will be like the next Billy Grahams." She said, "Multiply who you are." We've gotten this word from Dale Gentry. "Take what I've given you and turn the world upside down." Turn the world upside down. Now, most of the time, to be honest, we're just hoping that our world, our little life, our little kingdom stays right side up. We just have a lot going on, and things are tugging at us, and life has its pulls. And we're just hoping that our world, our life, stays right side up. But God is saying we are to turn the world upside down. And this was said of the disciples. In the book of Acts, it says they were those who turned the world upside down. So that means they went out and they stirred things up in the world. But sometimes to stir things up in the world, you've got to stay stirred up in the Holy Ghost on the inside. And so you've got to live from the inside out. You have to be in tune with the still, small voice of the Lord. And it might be still and small. And the clamor is always trying to drown it out. And the clamor can even come from your own thoughts. The things that you're so worried about, you just keep worrying and worrying and thinking and thinking, and how am I going to do that? And, oh, this is, and, you know, if you have a pain in your body, oh, the pain hurts so much. The bill is not paid yet. Those thoughts are so strong. If God tries to get a word in edgewise, it's like being at my Italian holiday feast, okay? And see, we're not just, and we do this thing. We come to church, and we're going to tune in for the next hour or so. And so for the next hour or so, we tune in. And we live from the inside out, and we're listening, and we're paying attention to God. But see, it's not just for church services. It's not just for the prophetic night or for RPM, our radical prayer meeting. It's for all the time, all the time. And so there's three kinds of people that the Bible teaches about: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. The natural man has never been born again. The carnal man, however, is a new creature, born again, but still governed by his senses, still ruled by his senses in the physical realm. What he can see, what he can feel, his emotions, his intellect, not ruled by the inward man, the spirit. The spiritual man, on the other hand, the third designation, is developed in the spirit. You know, one time I said that we're worried about world hunger. The hungriest man on earth is the inward man. The most starving man on earth sometimes is the inward man that we're not feeding properly. But the spiritual man, his spirit has gained control over his thoughts. He has the mind of Christ rather than his old unrenewed mind. The spirit rules over his physical body and his physical senses, and God can actually govern this person through his word. See, they're not doing what they want to do. They're listening to God and obeying. And some of us get pulled back and forth between the carnal man and the spiritual man. You know, usually if you're in this place and you're born again, you just get pulled back and forth between the carnal man and the spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this: the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness to him. You can go to a meeting, and if you're in a bad place, a meeting can seem so dull to you, you can't hear what's going on, and yet your friend next to you goes, oh my God, that was just life to my soul. I even got healed while they were speaking. You're like, really? I got nothing. But see, it's like your spirit man is just tuned out, turned off, because you got a lot of other clamor going on. 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. And yet they were in the church. And he says, but I could not speak to you as spiritual people. So you can be in church and not be a spiritual people. Because he's talking to those who were in the faith. They had a spiritual receiver. They knew the Lord. But he can't talk to them as though they were spiritual. How do you talk to spiritual people? What is it that you can do with spiritual people? How is it that Paul, what could he not say to them? If people are not spiritual, you can't tell them the truth. Well, you can tell them the truth, but you're going to have resistance, you're going to have repercussions, you're going to have backlash, you're going to have offense, you're going to have oversensitivity, maybe sulking, you're going to have a consequence. You can't speak truth to non-spiritual people. There's something in them that doesn't want to hear truth. It pushes back, you get pushed back. But spiritual people can hear truth, whether it's beautiful, whether it's affirming, like that word today, whether it's corrective, whether there's a slight adjustment, without any of those things. Because they're just ready to do what God says, and it's not about them. Now, Jesus said this all the time, over and over, that he said what he heard the Father say. But what if the Father says something you don't want to hear? See, what if, you know, you're in that situation where it's like, okay, God, your plan is not my plan. He says, give that money. And you go, no, I was saving for a fancy vacation. Or he goes, stop that relationship. And you go, no, I had my hopes pinned on this person. They were going to fix everything for me. And he goes, no, they're not. And you go, but I don't want to let go. See, what if he goes, lay down that habit. It's not need. You don't need it anymore. It's not profitable for you. See, what if he says that? And you go, I don't know if I want to. See, when he says something, if you have a trust relationship with him, there's no pushback. You just instantly obey because you know that he has your best interest at heart, that he loves you more than you love yourself. more than you love yourself. See, what if he just says, I want you to start doing, and you go, I wasn't planning to start doing that. But it's not about your plan. It's about his plan. Now, let's up the ante. What if he says, you need to go to apologize to them and say you were wrong? Well, they know I don't mean it. Go apologize to them and say you were wrong. What if he tells you, this is a hard one for me, refrain from saying what you think. Refrain. Don't say that. See, some of us, he has to go, you go say that. And some of us, he has to go, you don't say that. And I'll go, well, can I just say it? And you know, then they can digest it. He goes, don't go say that to Easy. I go, but I want to say it. I got to get it out of me. And so I said the thing that God said not to say, and we lost $15,000 when we sold our house. Because I said the thing God said. He said, don't go out there on the patio. Easy's out on the patio reading his Bible, and I thought we should lower the house price $15,000. And God said, don't go out there. Okay. And I stayed back. I just kept looking out there. And then he goes, don't go out there, because I don't want you to say that. And I thought, well, what if I just go out there and don't say it? So I went out there, and I sat for a little while without saying it. But soon and very soon, it came out. And I go, now, I don't know if we should or shouldn't. It's up to you. It's up to you. But once I said it, he did it. And the next day, the person came and offered us full price for the house. They had seen the first price, but since the listing, it had already dropped $15,000, they got it for the lower price. God, no. He was trying to save me money. Don't go out there. Don't say it. What if God says, confess that sin? Be accountable. Not in front of the whole church, but to that person that you know will walk with you through it and help you really get to your full deliverance. And you go, I'll just keep it to myself, just you and me. And he goes, I want you to confess it to them because you're going to need help walking through this. See, are we letting him speak to us, and are we doing what he says? Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear, notice the ear, unto my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes, notice the eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice that these are all analogies to physical things, but he's speaking in the spiritual aspect. He goes, because they are life to those that find him and health to all their flesh. What's going on the inside can make a difference on the outside. God leads us in three main ways. I don't want to deny the fact that just by applying the word, he can lead us. Just by applying the word, there are people that don't need a word of knowledge. They don't need a healing minister. They don't need somebody to have discerning of spirits. They just go, Lord, your word says this, and I receive it, and they get healed. See, that's a high form of faith, okay? But God is good to us, and there's a lot more ways than one to receive a thing. And so he does let others of us in the body of Christ minister one to another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There are things that some of you have received in this church that you wouldn't have received at home in your pajamas, okay? And maybe there are some things you can receive at home in your pajamas, but yet there are some things you're still supposed to receive here. If Easy hadn't come to church on January 13th, 2019, and Sandra just obeyed God and just laid hands on him quietly and just prayed in her own heart, when was the cancer going to leave? But he knew it left that day. If Dan hadn't come to church to release that word of knowledge, would Tori's back have been healed? See, I don't know. If Tori hadn't, I don't know, but I just know there are things that happen in the midst of us when we gather corporately. Gary Wood prayed for Steph, and she got healed that morning when he was a guest speaker of our. There are things that happen corporately. So by applying his word to our situation, by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit to our spirit, and by the prophetic and ministry and other giftings in the body of Christ, God can minister to us in all three ways. A lot of times we need two out of three for direction. See, you don't want to just have, oh, I read this passage about such and such, such and such, and I go, well, that's good, but sometimes you see what you're looking for. So let's get a confirmation. And so there are things that we apply. It's not a formula, but there's principles. And so since we're talking about being led, and we're talking about from the inside out, I would not want to not give credit to two things that I love to teach on, and I think they get short shrift, and most of the people don't even know what they are. But we're going to talk for just a minute before we move on about the Urim and the Tumim. And you're like, the what and the what? the Urim and the Tumim. Raise your hand if you know what that is. If you've sat under my teaching for any length of time, you'll know it. The Urim and the Tumim, some of my favorite things in the Old Testament. Exodus 28:30 says, "You shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Tumim," spelled U-R-I-M-T-H-U-M-M-I-M. "And they shall be upon Aaron's heart," the high priest, "when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." Now, tucked behind the breastplate, we're talking about the garment. Everything that the priest wore in the Old Testament was symbolic of something about us. You know, the bottom of his robe had bells and pomegranates engraved all around it. That wasn't just because God thought that'd be a pretty touch, you know, like putting roses or, you know, a flowery trim or a little pattern on your outfit. Bells and pomegranates symbolize the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And between every bell, the things that clang and are loud, like the gifts of the Spirit, the things that show up and show off, there was a fruit. Because we don't want you living your life with a bunch of gifts and no fruit. The fruit kept the bells from clanging together on each other and just being like a noisy gong. And so every element of the wardrobe, we'll say, in the Old Testament that the priest put on is symbolic of something in our life. And so tucked behind Aaron's breastplate, next to his heart, was a little pouch, a little pouch. And in this pouch, the Lord instructed Aaron to place two items. One was called the Urim, one was called the Tumim. These words only appear about 5 or 6 times in the Old Testament. And when you read the Old Testament, you don't understand something, you can just gloss over it. But some of these words are rich with symbolism. Now, at other times, the Urim and Tumim aren't really mentioned per se, but they're understood, they're implied. Like when it says, they went and inquired of the Lord. How'd they inquire? What, do they write it on a piece of paper and put it in a box and God comes and gets it out and then he puts his answer in the box? How did they inquire, okay? What did the inquiry look like? Or sometimes it says, like of Joshua and the troops and of David, it says, they asked counsel of the Lord. How? How'd they ask? What was the method of getting the answer? The Urim and the Tumim. The root word for Urim is O-W-R. It means fire, light, brilliant glow. It speaks of a supernatural brilliance when the answer from God that the high priest was asking on behalf of the people was a yes. When it was a yes, something would light up. The Urim would light up. If it's a yes, no light, no glow, no go, you know? It's like, haven't you been somewhere and like somebody says something and something in you lights up? And you've been, and somebody else says something and just feels dead inside? See, there's a glow, like whoosh, there's a witness to the thing that is right. The Hebrew word for tumim is tom, T-O-M. It means truth, perfection, completeness. Or some people felt it was just a symbol of truth. So it's like the thing is next to truth, and if this is the truth, it lights up. And when I first taught this in the 90s, I actually put a little jewelry pouch inside my shirt, but we're not going to do that today. But anyway, and I put 2 little rocks in it, and we'd pull it out and see if it had lit up or not. But, you know, that's what God's doing in our hearts. And you might go, that sounds crazy that he led the Israelites like that. But no, see, if he could cause a light in a little pouch to light up, to lead Moses and Aaron and Joshua and the people of Israel, certainly the Holy Spirit, how much more, can lead us on the inward man in our hearts and cause there to be a witness to what is true and what is not. In both words, Urim and Tumim, the last two letters are I-M, and that is the plural of the word preceding it. Urim really means lights with an S, two, more than one. Fires, brilliant glows. Tumim, truths, perfections. There's more than one way to hear. There's more than one answer you'll need. There's more than one truth in the world. But the light comes when you're going in the right direction. When this is the way, walk ye in it. The light comes, the Urim, the Tumim. So when Moses dressed Aaron, consecrating him to the priesthood, he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Tumim. One translation calls it the breastplate of light and truth. Gosh, I want light and truth on the inside of me. I need light and truth guiding me. Now, on the outside, the part visible to man, were on the breastplate, were the 4 rows of stones with 3 stones in each row. And each stone represented a tribe, 12 stones, 12 tribes. And some people think that the outward stones lit up when the Urim was in use. But most people think that the Tumim was simply a symbol of truth, and the Urim lit up, only the Urim. And so how would they know what God was saying? Well, you could look and you could see the glow. Some people felt like, well, no, he really felt the warmth when the thing started glowing. Well, some people see, some people feel. It's a type and a shadow of how we are led by the Spirit. You can look and see the thing glowing. You can see a thing. You can feel. See, easy sees, I feel. Some people hear. God can lead you different ways, but he must lead you. He must lead you, or you're just out there by yourself. See, you're walking alone and you're saying, I'm a Christian, he's my God, but I'm in charge. He needs to lead us, and we need to get ourselves acclimated to the fact that he does lead us. Some of the stuff that's wrong is that we think we can't hear from him. They hear from him. That special person hears from him. They hear from him, but I don't. For every person in this room who hears from God, there was a time they didn't. There was a time they didn't. There was a time they didn't think they could. I remember when Jen would sit in a prayer meeting and be very quiet, and I was next to her, and I go, there's something you've got. I just felt it. See, my leading helped her get into her gifting. I go, I feel like you've got something. I don't know. I don't know if it's right. I go, say it. We'll tell you if it's wrong. You've got to be willing to risk it. You might even be wrong, but how else are we going to learn? How do children learn? They begin stepping out. And their parents, those above them, those in charge of them, say, yes, no, that's right. This needs to be adjusted. There have been people, I go, that word was partially right, but not all. We need to peel back the things you're thinking. We've got to expect that God will speak to us and for others and for ourselves. I remember when Easy and I used to go speak, really Easy spoke, and I sat there and prayed. Okay, and so for years, he would have speaking engagements nearly every weekend while he was in business. While he did a full-time job, we didn't support ourselves from ministry. We probably ministered more then than we minister now. Because we didn't have administration or a church building or records to keep. We just go out and speak, lay hands on the sick, and see him healed. And so I'd sit in my place and pray, and he'd stand up and start to minister. And once he did, words of knowledge started flowing, words of wisdom. You on the third row, you had a wreck in this city 4 weeks ago. You were in a red pickup truck, and your knee got hurt. Yes! You know, they'd run up, get healed. And then he'd have another one. You know, you over there, you have an older son, and you're having a problem with him, and you've been up night after night about your son. Yes! You know, and they'd run up and get prayer. Well, see, when the meeting would be over, they'd come up to me, and they thought he knew everything. They thought he knew. Yeah, we went home and go, God, what are we supposed to do? Because the gifts of the Spirit are one thing. You hear from him, then you're just the delivery boy. But when it comes to your personal guidance, it's not. Jen, do you know everything? When you go home and you need an answer to prayer, does that movie screen just come like that? Okay. So there's a difference between hearing for the gifts of the Spirit and then hearing in our everyday life. And part of the difference is that in our everyday life, we have a will of our own. And it's easiest to know the will of God when you don't have a will of your own. Much easier. See, if there's not something that's clear, you know, the Bible says, my soul is like a weaned child within me. That means my mind, my will, my emotions is not, you know, a non-weaned baby is always crying for the bottle. A weaned baby is quiet and calm. My soul needs to be quiet and calm. But we know many times it is not. And so therefore, it's hard to hear the Spirit because of what's going on in our soul. Now, 1 John 5:6, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that bears witness because the Spirit is truth. See, that's what we have. The Tumim represented truth. We have a Tumim spot in our heart. The New Testament parallel, there must be a supernatural glow in our hearts when we are receiving direction from the Lord. So the Holy Spirit can cause the light to glow in your heart that you know this is the way. See, even if it's above what you intellectually know, you could have a knowing. It's your privilege as a child of God. You are entitled to receive God's direction. You are entitled. It's like if I live in a certain house, and this is what my daddy owns, and this is what my daddy says I can have, I'm entitled to it. But see, my Heavenly Father says, I am entitled to his direction. I am entitled to hear from him. I am entitled to his help in time of need. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, it's not backwards. like we quote it sometime and we hear it quoted sometime, is many are the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. No, the scripture says as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons. See, you might be in his house, but you don't have the rights and the privileges and the access. And it's more like you're in his house, but it's like you feel like you're a servant rather than a son when you're not getting led by him. But once you know that that relationship is real, see, you don't feel like you're on the outside looking in and like you're a servant. Like everybody's here, I'm here too, but I'm not like they are. See, get rid of that mentality. See, get rid of that. As many as are led by the Spirit go, well, I'm not there yet, but I want it to be me. See, I want to go there. See, give yourself permission to go where God says you can go. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't want to just be like the little orphan in his house waiting for a daddy. I have one. I have one. He's grafted me in. He's adopted me. And I have all the rights and privileges of a son or a daughter. Now, in the Urim and the Thummim in the Old Testament, the truth is what the light responded to. The truth. The light would shine when the truth was present. The Holy Spirit does not bear witness to falsehood or to error or to deception. There was a time when I didn't even know what this person was talking about, but they were talking about this thing, and it turned out to be something New Age that I didn't know, that I had no knowledge of, but my inside, it was like, ooh, it doesn't feel right. Because see, the light doesn't bear witness to what is deception. Truth must be near our heart at all times, a love for the truth, a love for the truth about everything, not just the truth about everybody else, but the truth about him, the truth about the word, and the truth about me. See, I have to be willing to hear even the truth about me. And you know, sometimes I tell people I love truth and I hate deception. I hate deception. Usually if there's deception, if you're around me long enough, it'll show up. I hate deception. It's my enemy. You know why? Because deception damages people one way or another. Even if they think it's true, but it's not, it damages them. And I love people because Jesus loves people. So Jesus doesn't want you in deception, like Alan was singing. Break every chain. There are thoughts we are chained to. There are memories we are chained to. There are conditions we're chained to. There's ideologies and philosophies we're chained to. And God wants to break them all and get truth established in our heart. Psalms 51:6, you desire truth in the inward parts, O Lord. In the hidden parts, I shall know wisdom. In the hidden parts. Luke 24:32. Did not our hearts burn within us on the road to Emmaus? The two disciples said, as he talked to us. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead and they didn't really recognize him. They were walking. He was walking along them. And later they found out it was Jesus and they said, did not our hearts burn? They felt something. Did not our hearts burn within us? I want my heart to burn with love, but also burn when I know his presence, know when he's saying this is the way, know when he's saying this is what to do. Sometimes people burn on the inside if they're supposed to give a word, but they don't want to give it. You will feel something. Now, I'm not talking about physical senses. See, in the Old Testament, Joshua, they relied on their physical senses, and they saw a man dressed in certain kind of clothes, and they felt, you know, see, it's a physical thing that they judge by, and they got wiped out. Because that man was tricking them. He was deceiving them. I don't mean what you see with your eyes. I mean your inward eyes. I don't mean what somebody said to you in your ear. I mean the inward ear that the Holy Spirit speaks to. See, I don't mean your heart is broken and you feel all sad. There have been times when people want to make me feel sad for them, and God says, look up. And if I acted sympathetic toward them, I'd be enabling the thing that God wanted to break. So it's not about our physical heart, our physical ear, our physical eye. It's about the inward man, the spiritual one. Our physical senses are limited, but the spirit is unlimited. Unlimited wisdom, unlimited direction, unlimited answers. It's like, oh, I went to him yesterday. I can't go again today. He's going to get tired of me. No. Run boldly to the throne of grace for help and mercy in time of need. He's there with open arms. The veil is rent. The access is no longer barred. Sometimes our own deceitfulness can be our greatest hindrance to finding the will of God. And we're the most deceived about ourselves. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me. But you know, when you pray, you don't think there's anything wicked in you. It's just words. But you know, sometimes there's stuff in there that it's just not like him. And it just doesn't, you know, meet the mark. And we need his help to get it out of our life. And so don't be afraid. Somebody goes, well, I know there's junk in my heart, but I just don't want to see it. Why not? You want it to stay? Like you want it to be there forever? Don't be afraid of what God might show you, because what's exposed and comes to light can then be broken and gone. People are afraid to think something's wrong with them. Let me make it clear. Something's probably wrong with you, okay? But God can make it right. See, the good news is God can make it right. You don't have to be afraid of what he shows you. You don't have to be afraid if he puts his finger on something. Oh, I didn't know that was in me. It's always been there. Be glad that you know. Now you can do something about it. John 16, 13, the New Testament counterpart, like I've told you all day, of the Urim and the Tumim, my favorite little elements in the Old Testament, aside from the tabernacle and blood covenant and the book of Joshua and the book of Esther and all the other things I love in the Old Testament, the Urim and the Tumim, the little things that get overlooked, the New Testament counterpart is not a little thing, but it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one we can lean on, who comes beside us to lead us and guide us. And it says in the Bible, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. All truth. Truth about everything. Truth about the Lord. Truth about other people. Truth about ourselves. All truth. And what we've already said is, and the truth will what? Make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Deception will never make you free. Compromising will never make you free. Sitting on the fence will never make you free. But the truth will every time. Every time. Some hear, some see, some feel, but all must be led by the Spirit. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are your children. We are bought with a price. We are grafted in. We are adopted. We thank you, Lord, that we will now take our rights and privileges and begin to open up the closed areas of our hearts and minds that say we can't hear from you, and say, Lord, we're waiting to hear from you. We are waiting to hear from you. We are waiting for your leading. We are waiting for your voice. Sensitize us, oh God. Open our ears. Soften our heart, oh God. Let us speak the things that you want us to speak. Let us see you. Let us feel you. Let us hear you. Let us be like Jesus, that we say what you say and we do what we see you do. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for a multiplication of the true gifts of the Spirit. Not people who want to be seen, not just a bunch of clanging bells, but people who want to help minister to their brother and sister. So give us accurate words of knowledge, accurate words of wisdom, accurate prophetic gifts, gifts of healing, healings, gifts of healings, more than one kind. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you want to do in our midst. I thank you for all that you want to do for people who have never heard from you. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you want to bestow on those. I thank you for the gift of evangelism, like Alan prayed, God, that we will bring people in so that they can sup and dine at your table where there's food and good things in store for them. So, Father, I thank you that we will be aware in the midst of the clamor of our life, the clamor of our week, the clamor of others around us, that you want to speak, that you have a word to say, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, listen. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen.